Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to... Jan, did we set up that questions yet, or are we still on mail? I don't remember whether we sent that email up yet. We'll do it for mail for right now. If you have any questions, send it to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. We're going to be moving back to questions. I don't know whether we set that up yet or not. Anyway, you go ahead.
I think it ended up question singular or mail.
Yeah, we'll do it mail for right now, and next week we'll go back to questions or question, singular. But I don't think I set it up yet, so we'll have to go back and I'll take a look tomorrow. But until then, if anybody has any questions, you can send it to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, also please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, you know, whatever comes in from my books first goes into National Liberty Alliance, and it supports us. And if I can get some money out of there from time to time, I do, so that I can live a life. But in any event, buying our books will also support NLA. We don't make much of a profit on them. We keep those books really, really... affordable, you know, and they're thick books, a lot of information in. All right, so let me just repeat that. Support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please donate. Support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Everybody can afford that. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, we're going to be reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it is read by Alexander Scorby. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is it 2? Hold on a minute. I may have that off here. Yeah, I'm going to have to open. I got the wrong one in here. Hang on a second.
Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work.
Okay, we'll go to questions in a minute. Just want to make another note here. You know, I should remind people every week of this, and I'm going to start that now. We'd like to remind everyone of the importance of bringing guests to our Monday night open forums. We need to grow. We need to hit critical mass at some point. Hopefully the project that we're going to be talking about tonight and we'll be working on for the next few months will hopefully get people's attention and help us get to that point of critical mass. Of course, we've always been desiring and hoping and heading towards critical mass as best we could. We've had a lot of problems with our website, and I think, you know, we haven't had much growth, but lately since we've had some repairs done on our website, we've been getting a lot of new members, so it's starting to build up again. So we've probably had some problems on the site for quite some time. We weren't even realizing it. And we've had some serious problems with our mail. We still have problems with our mail. They thought they fixed it on two occasions, but it hasn't been fixed. They're working on it. I just tested it this evening, and it's still not working. So they'll be back on that again tomorrow, hopefully, and get us up and going. You know, our project that we want to focus in on is going to be very dependent upon getting to all of our membership. You know, we have a pretty large membership, but we don't have that many people, of course, coming, you know, thousands of people to our Monday night meetings. Of course, that would be nice. It would also cost a lot more money if we had to do that, because we do pay for this platform that we do use. It's not expensive. But as you build, when you get over a certain number, you know, you got to start paying more and more and more. So we would hope, of course, that we would grow on the one hand and that people would give us $5 a month or more. That's a cup of coffee and a donut once a month. I think everyone can do that. Give one up. I know everybody seems to like their donuts or, you know, bagels or whatever. Cup of coffee or tea or whatever. Anyway, just give up once a month. And that will support the you know, what we're doing here, trying to save the Republic. And we indeed are trying to save the Republic. You know, Trump can do what he can do to get us back on track. And I think he's doing a lot of work on a lot of different areas. He's working on the economy. He's working on world peace. He's working on taking out fraud through our government. And many, many other things all at one time. And you know, again, we do believe that he understands the problems with the courts more than he ever has. Or maybe he always has and just hasn't been revealing it. Because lately I've been seeing him really beat up the courts, even accusing the United States, some in the United States Supreme Court, dealing with the enemy and taking on things that are outside of the Constitution. And he's mentioned that something needs to be done with that. Well, we've been planning on working on this for quite some time, so the time is ripe for that. We're going to be talking about that tonight. So it's really ripe. Our big focus is to get people educated so that they can see the people who are destroying our nation, to see how serious the problem is, to see that we have lost our courts of law. And so an education is an important part of this whole process, and people realizing that the Constitution can't protect itself. We the people, the only ones that can save the Republic ultimately. We got to save the courts. We got to see when they're breaking the law, when they're going beyond the powers and the authorities we've given them, and gone outside the Constitution, first to recognize it, and second to step up and take them out of power. Because people don't realize that we can take any of these people out at any given time. Just got to organize grassroots. We'll teach you exactly how to do it. You can pull your representative out, you know, from Washington or within your state, once you realize that they don't care what the people think, and they're not really out there to help you. They're out there to fill their pockets up. That's what they're out there for. And they've all been seen, well, a lot of them have been compromised. So, but anyway, our focus is on that and bringing back the Republic. We've been beating down the doors of the federal judiciary and the United States Supreme Court for years now. And we have plenty of evidence to show a conspiracy. that whatever they're doing out there in here in New York, out in California, Washington State, Mississippi, it doesn't matter where you're at. All these federal courts, all these federal judges are doing the same thing. They've shut down the courts of law. You can't get a court of law no more. They've discarded the Constitution. The Bill of Rights are irrelevant. They're not there no more. People who don't go into the courts have no clue. They think that they're free, but they're really slaves. Because the day you go into court is the day you're going to find out that there is no Constitution no more. And that's what we're trying to, first of all, bring to the minds of the people, to expose that conspiracy number one. And we've got proof of that conspiracy. And so it's only the people that can save the Republic. It's only the people that can get this word out, get enough people involved to see what's going on, to get involved to try to take back control of their government from the grassroots level. And we don't need millions and millions and millions of people. You know, we only need maybe 50 plus people per county to take this whole nation back and take back our republic to and return our courts back to courts of law. And I think through exposure, which we're going to talk about tonight, is going to be key. It is ripe. It is ripe right now. The timing is perfect. We'll get into those details shortly. But anyway, people should be bringing guests here to our open forums. People should be supporting us for $5 a month or more. And people should be trying to get information from podcasters to make a connection with the podcasters, get that information to Jan, and Jan will work to set up meetings for me. And, you know, I'll get a phone call, hopefully have a conversation with these podcasters, and then hopefully get onto their podcast. And that's where we'll really grow. That's how we can have critical mass. So it's up to the people to save America. It's up to the people to educate themselves, to understand how duped we are, and that we're really slaves and we need to be liberated. And only they can liberate themselves. And that we have to support this Constitution and protect it. Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
No, John, we don't have any questions, but I would like to add to your announcement.
Sure.
We have been having major issues with the mass email from NLA. So if anyone has received a newsletter for number 9 through 11, the 11th went out yesterday, March 16th. So it says, but I have no confirmation from anyone that it has made it to the members. So if any member has received one from newsletter number 9 through number 11, please just email me at National Liberty Alliance and indicate which newsletter number that you have received. I would greatly appreciate it. It might help clear up a lot of our issues. Thanks so much. That's all I have, John.
Right. Which email did you want them to send it to?
Jan@nationallibertyalliance.org.
All right. Okay. I do know that the last one didn't go out, unless somehow it sneaked through the one part of us, but definitely the ones before didn't go out. Well, probably didn't go out either. So, and I know I've sent out two, and I know neither of them have gone out. So hopefully we'll get it back together and we'll be able to get some information back out to our members and also make the note of some of the things we want to try to do. Right now the queue is open, so people want to get into the queue, but I'm going to cover a few things before we start taking questions or comments from anybody. Let me just take a quick look. Yeah, we have a couple people in right now, so that's good. All right, anybody else wants to get into the queue? *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button there to enter the queue if you're on an app or a browser. Okay, let's see what we got here. I started throwing together, I've been working on the case that we need to take back to the Supreme Court. We spoke about this last week, and what I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm going to try to make a short video clip on this. I'd like to do something with GoFundMe. If anybody's got any experience with that, that could help us with GoFundMe, send a note to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org and let us know that you've got some experience and that you're willing to help us to try to get onto GoFundMe. I mean, we could figure, I did a GoFundMe many, many years ago. Most of the people we collected from back in those days were really members. We didn't get it out to the regular general public, and that's the tough part, trying to get the word out to the regular people to go take a look and consider funding us. So anybody got any insight on that, let us know. Also, any other way that people can think of to help us to get some funding, because we do have a lot of work to do. We want to go to the Supreme Court, and we also need to bring our website up to par, because it really, it's got a problem. And, you know, at some point, I believe we're going to crash, and I don't know whether we'll be able to get it back up. We're using Drupal. We're on Drupal 7. And right now, I believe they're up to 11 or 12. I'm sure Terry will correct me on that. I think Terry knows. But we need to get it upgraded. And to upgrade to that far is going to run us about $10,000. One of the big problems we have is we have a lot of courses. And the courses, some of them have come from being created on our own and attaching it to the Drupal program, and then of course you have the database, and you know, and all these things that are problematic. And I'm told that it could take anywhere from 60 to 100 hours of work to get this work done. So anyway, we're looking to get together at some point in time, hopefully sooner than better. You know, about $10,000 to do that work. Now, the big project we've been talking about, we started talking a little bit about it 2 weeks ago, but last week we spent some time on this project, and we need to go to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. We've sent them two presentments, and they've kicked them back both times. We've sent many presentments to Trump and his administration, everybody in his administration, plus some senators and a few particular congressmen. And they received it. They didn't send it back. And from listening to Trump lately, I think he's been reading it. Again, he may know these things before we've told him about it, but if he hasn't, then we've educated him a little bit, or maybe, you know, enforced his thinking on it. We also send books to 40 individuals. We send it to all of the people within Trump's administration, of course, Trump himself. And we sent the books, Government by Consent, to a few senators and a few congressmen. 40 in total, I think it was, or 42, something like that. And that cost a few dollars, but we got through it. We've done it. The United States Supreme Court has a doorkeeper. And we were very clear. We sent it in. The last one we sent in, we sent twice, and informing them that this is not a court case. This is a presentment coming from a grand jury. They really couldn't care less. And you're going to see how less they could care as we go through some of the things we want to talk about tonight. They have completely shredded our Constitution. And I don't think people realize how serious and how bad it really is. Okay, it is serious. You know, generally speaking, you know, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. We made that clear in the Constitution. We made a covenant with God to receive His blessings, to be under His law. And we even put that in the Constitution itself in the preamble. One of the requirements of government is to secure the blessings of liberty. Liberty is a blessing from God. It does not come from the government. Okay, we have an unalienable right to be under the laws of nature's God. We made that clear in the Declaration of Independence. We have an unalienable right to alter or to abolish our government. Okay, we made that clear in the Declaration of Independence. We have an unalienable right to institute new government. We have under absolute despotism, unalienable right to throw off such government. And believe me, we need to throw off the federal judiciary. Matter of fact, we did indict the entire federal judiciary, and we did add that indictment to our presentment to the United States Supreme Court, and their doorkeepers prevented it from going through. We have an unalienable right to install new guards for future security. You know, if the people only understood this and they were involved on their grassroots level, in committees of safety that we teach people how to do. We've written in our books. We've written handbooks. We've did many videos. Lots of information on National Liberty Alliance on how to get a committee of safety going, and step by step. And any questions or comments or concerns you have, you can come to National Liberty Alliance's Monday night meeting and ask us questions, and we'll give you the answers. And if we don't have the answers, we will find them for you. But we're teaching people all these things to take control of their government. You know, first order of business, organizing within your county and taking control of local governments and your local schools and any other government board that you need to take a hold of and control. And that includes your representatives in Washington and, of course, your representatives within your state, right down to your governor. We can tell you, show you exactly how to remove a governor from office. The governor of your state, we can have them removed from office by doing what's called a recall. We can teach you how to... Okay, I don't know what that meant. Does anybody know what that meant? Someone hit a button somewhere that all participants are on hold?
Not me.
I have no idea.
Okay, unhold. Okay, I don't know what that meant. Someone hit a button somewhere, but I think what that meant is everybody went dark for a moment. So I think that's what happened. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me just... hang on a second. Let me go from Q&A to... just a couple of people, maybe unmute yourselves and let us know you're here, that you're not on hold any longer, because somehow we put everybody on hold for a moment, it seems. But we did hit the on hold button.
Yeah, I don't think we're on hold, John.
Okay. All right, let me go back to... I'm sorry, I probably kicked everyone out. Let me see, Q&A mode. Yeah, so get back into the queue. There was two people in the queue. Hopefully we'll get some more. All right, anyway, where were we? Unalienable rights to install new gods and how to do this. You know, again, we teach that. So, you know, look at New York here. We have a seriously bad governor. He should be in jail. And the same thing, we have that in California. Should be in jail. If the people organize, you can take this guy out of office. It's very, very simple. It's called recall. But you need enough people to be able to make the signatures. But you could also take your representative, your state representatives, or your U.S. representatives, take them out of office, recalled, 90 days gone, run a new election. And the whole system is set up to be able to do that. People just don't know about that. Instead, we live with this insanity. We live with these tyrants. And they continue to just injure us and destroy us. God's people may appeal to the supreme judge of the world, Declaration of Independence, okay? Unalienable rights to be free and independent states. That's in the Bill of Rights and Constitution and, of course, the Declaration. Unalienable right to dissolve political bands for cause when they break their oaths. We can dissolve the political bands. Now, we don't want to get too serious, but I do believe... And if people want to talk about this tonight, it's a good conversation. I do believe every single federal judge needs to leave. Every single one of them needs to go. We also need to bar the bar, the ABA, American Bar Association, from entering our courts, because that's what the original 13th Amendment was written for. And we need to resurrect the original 13th Amendment. And for those who don't know about that, you should take our courses and you'll find out about that. Let's see the damage that they've done. And I kind of just ran out of time listing these things. I'm sure I could probably add some more things to this, but I put this together today. The American Bar Association controls the United States Supreme Court. They also control our representatives in Washington and your representatives also in the state. The ABA controls everything. They control the education. They control the political process. They control our courts. They control our economic system. They got their fingers in everything. They control our medical system. You notice that all these doctors, you don't find a doctor, you know, that's separated from some group. They're all in groups. And that's all put together ultimately by lawyers, and that's why we have a lot of problems, medically speaking. It's run by a bunch of lawyers, okay? Anything that's run by lawyers is destructive, okay, especially bar attorneys. The ABA-controlled U.S. Supreme Court via the 1934 Rules Enabling Act. This is what has happened. They have closed our courts of justice, also known as the law, natural law courts. They changed our courts of justice to chancery courts, civil law courts. They abrogated the law of land, claiming we are under Roman law, also known as Babylonian law, under the name of civil law, via their Rule 2. They abolished the rules of common law, thereby removing common sense, coupled with justice and sometimes mercy. They abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum nobis. You know, I've filed a lot of papers into the quorum nobis, and they've been just ignored, until one day one judge says, "Hey, we discarded that a long time ago." These are the sovereign's writs, the power and the authority of the people, and they did this by rule. By the way, they have made their rules law. So they abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum nobis. They've abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum vobis. They've abrogated the sovereign's writs of adiuta querela, if I'm pronouncing that right. They ignore writs of habeas corpus, so they probably... I didn't find any place they abrogated it, but we have about 100 habeas corpuses out there. I think it's about 100. And they've all just been totally ignored. Who are these people? This is your federal district courts. They ignore writs of quo vanto. They ignore petitions for government for a redress of grievance. Totally ignore you. You ain't coming in. We don't want to bother. We don't want to tell you. That's a First Amendment unalienable right, protected by the First Amendment, the right for a redress of grievances. They refuse to respond. They abrogated a fully informed, free, and independent grand jury orientated by the people. You're not getting a fair grand jury. They've abrogated the fully formed and free and independent pettiguries. They're all stacked juries. Everything's against you in that court. The prosecutor or whoever's on the other side, if it's not the prosecutor, could be a civil court, but they're against you, obviously. The judge is already against you. And believe it or not, if you went in with a lawyer, he's against you too. He's one of the good old boys. He belongs to the club. And he's going to be obedient to that judge, and he's going to give his everything to the court in opposed to you. All he's interested in is your money. That's it. I'm telling you, I've been in this too long, and I'm telling you, I have never seen corruption as much as corruption I've seen in our court system with all of these lawyers. It's difficult. I've only found a couple of lawyers that have any righteousness in them at all. And I'm talking two or three here when I say a couple. That's how serious, and I've met hundreds of lawyers. I've talked with many, many lawyers. Been in way too many court cases that I'd be, you know, I don't even want to go into the courts anymore. But we need to do what we got to do. They abrogated, let me see where I'm at, okay. They abrogated Amendment 1, permitting prayer in school. They've abrogated Amendment 1, permitting the Bible in school. You know, this world was very, very different when the Bible and prayer was in school. It was all voluntary. George Washington said that the school should put this, all our founding fathers agreed that this should be in the school, that they should understand and know who the king of our court is. The king of our court is not the Supreme Court justices, nor is it that judge that sits that thinks that he can rule over we the people. You know, he is the servant, and we are the master. But they seem to have turned this whole thing around, and they truly believe that we are the master. We are the servants. I've heard judges say, "This ain't going to happen in my court. It's not your court. It's the people's court. We the people." It's not his court, but they believe it is. So, you know, look at America is always been focused in on liberty and the good of people. And all of this is because we were brought up under the doctrines of Christ, you know, the Gospels, the four Gospels. That was the key part of our education, you know, and it was all about morality, those Gospels. They abrogated the balance of power via the repugnant 17th Amendment. States have no power, no authority, no say on anything no more. So the federal government has total power. They abrogated the restriction of direct tax via the repugnant Amendment 16. So the direct tax is clearly in the Constitution, and they ran Amendment 16 to try to squash that. And of course, we the people ordained and established that. They can't do that. The courts, the Supreme Court a long time ago did rule that Amendment 16 didn't add anything new, and it did not give the power to the government to actually create an income tax, nor a property tax, because that's a direct tax. If you tax and you don't pay your property and you don't pay that tax on your property, then they just come and take it because you need to pay your rent. We're going to throw you out. How long people are going to put up with this? They need to wake up. They've infringed upon Amendment 2, right to keep and bear arms, constantly. They just don't stop talking about it. Look, it's an unalienable right. It's enough. Case closed. There's nothing to talk about. You know, we see what's going on in Iran. I was surprised to find out that they killed over 30,000 people since this whole situation started. People who were out there and they were, going up and demonstrating against the government, and they killed them. And then they recently put an order out: anybody found in the streets demonstrating against the government are going to be shot. As soon as they get out there, they're going to shoot them. And I think that tells us why the Second Amendment is so important. Oh, it'll never happen in America, so you can give up your Second Amendment. It's not going to happen here. Don't worry about it. They abrogated the original Amendment 13 that prevented bar judges and lawyers from holding positions of honor. To go walk into our courts and hold any position, it's a position of honor. They provided for a debtor's prison. Are we that blind that we don't realize what the IRS is doing and what the federal judiciary is providing for? They are providing for debtor's prisons via the federal tax courts, controlled by foreign banksters, for the unlawful tax schemes under the pretense of a fictional Article I court that just doesn't exist. They changed common law to mean judicial comedy. And judicial comedy really is they create all of these decisions, however they wish and will, on the trial courts, and then they look to them as being common law. It's outrageous. It's an abomination. They have refused obedience to the Constitution. I have heard a judge say the Constitution, I've heard two judges say this, the Constitution does not come into this courtroom. People have no clue. If you're not in the courts, you have no clue how bad it is. None whatsoever. This is kind of a repeat, but I'm going to put it up anyway. They have abrogated the state's sovereignty via the 17th Amendment. They have abrogated the people's sovereignty via the 16th Amendment. They have replaced our unalienable rights gifted by our Creator with privileges via their civil law. They have turned over control of our courts and the writing of our rules as law to a foreign entity, the American Bar Association. They have made judges dependent upon status quo rulings. So you're not going to win against big corporations. You're not going to win any argument against the government. They sent hither swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out their substance in traffic courts, village courts, town courts, county courts, state courts, transporting us into jurisdictions unknown to be tried for pretended offenses. They have concealed and seized control of the people's right of government by consent. They have combined there with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. You know, some of these Supreme Court judges and U.S. Supreme Court judges actually use outside law from foreign countries to make decisions in their thinking, and they allow that to override the Constitution. That's how serious it is. They have given assent to acts of pretended legislation. They assault innocent people with trumped up charges and send SWAT teams to destroy people and put their families into jeopardy. They have fundamentally altered the forms of our government. They have declared themselves invested with power to legislate via rules. They have literally put rules above the law, and they use rules as the law, and then they make it up as they go. And when you go up and use their rules, then they'll deny them. Seen that way too many times. They have declared themselves invested with power to legislate via the rules. They have relinquished state government powers while waging war against patriotic people. Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but under probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or the things to be seized, gone via the Patriot Act. And they call it the Patriot Act. I wonder who the patriots are. Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless order presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. Well, they will say that an infamous crime is not one that requires... Well, let me put it this way. They put people into jail without a grand jury indictment. That's against the law, right there in Amendment 5. Okay? And the fact of the matter, the meaning of an infamous crime, you can go into your Black's Law, you can go into Bouvier's Law, and you can look right up into the law book the meaning of an infamous crime. An infamous crime is not the particularly the crime itself. It's the penalty given to whatever that action is what, and it is a jail sentence. So if a person is given a jail sentence, then whatever crime they committed, that is infamous. And that's the meaning. They try to say that they'll put you in jail on traffic infractions. Okay, unless on a presentment or an indictment of the grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia or in an actual service in time, I'm reading actually the Fifth Amendment, in a time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. And believe me, they've had trials where the jury has made the decision and they threw the jury decision out and retried the case. That's happening, okay? That is unlawful. That's a violation of the Fifth Amendment to be put into jeopardy twice. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against yourself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. I challenge anyone to find a court where you're getting due process. Let me know about it, because there's not one out there. There is no court out there that you can get due process. It does not exist. You need to understand what due process is. And we teach a course on that. But due process is gone. You don't have due process. You know, you have chancery courts. One guy up there makes all the decisions and can put you in jail. I don't know if you visited any of these village courts and town courts and city courts, because they're all chancery courts. And a lot of states and a lot of places, county courts. Matter of fact, like, I think it's every place in county courts. And I'll tell you what, even the state courts also, because you're not going to get due process in any of those courts either. It doesn't exist. It's gone. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. That's a real joke, isn't it? By an impartial jury. That's a bigger joke, because there's no such thing as an impartial jury these days. They're stacked juries. They have questionnaires, and they ask all kinds of questionnaires, and they know who those people are. What news media do you listen to? They actually ask these questions. ABC, NBC, CBS, do you get your news outside of some, outside of the regular, news that's out there? They ask about weapons, they know who you are as far as your position on the Second Amendment. You know, do you have a weapon in the house? Do you have a permit to have your weapon? Does anybody in your household have a weapon? They ask all these questions to understand who you are so that they can pull the right people together and set them up there. It's called stacking the jury, so that they will get the right results at the end of the day. Just looking to see where we're at here. I'm just going to read. I'm probably going to reread. Let me just pick up in one place. You should be able to enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. That's a joke. Of the state and the district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against you, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses. That is even a bigger joke. I mean, I've seen way too many cases where people bringing in witness can. The judge makes this decision on whatever evidence is coming in the court. In the beginning of the trial, they kick all this stuff out. You can't bring that in. You can't bring this in. No, that person. They literally do this. So that's up to the people to decide whether that evidence is valid or not. It's not up to a judge, but they prevent it from even going into the court. And if people, if you haven't been in the courts, you don't know about these things. And I'm telling you, this is what's going on in the courts today. Okay, I'll pick up. To have compulsory process for obtaining a witness in his favor and for assistance of counsel for his defense. And they will require that assistance of counsel to actually be counseled. You got to have counsel, and you have to have a bar attorney of counsel, because they need one of the boys in the game. They need to be able to control the case. And believe me, they control the case. Amendment 7, in suits of common law. Oh, forget about it. There is no suits of common law. But in suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. You're not going to get. I ask for a trial by jury every single time I go into the court. Every time. I always ask for a trial by jury. Never got one. They won't give it to me. They won't give it to most people. Of course, all the things I go for are not criminal things, but nevertheless, my right, if it's over $20, right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court. And yet judges have thrown out decisions and retried the case. And nobody does anything about it. Nobody says anything about it. The lawyers don't stick up and say, hey, you can't do that. Okay? They cannot be reexamined in any court in the United States, other than according to the rules of the common law. Which means the only thing that could be retried in the court is if somebody else's rights or something was violated in there, some kind of a constitutional assault on someone, that can be corrected. And that would have to go up to the appellate or even to the United States Supreme Court. Excessive bail shall not be required. They put people in jail all day long, and they know these people can't get bail. They can't get the bail. And first of all, if someone is, even if it's a criminal case, unless it's something really, really serious, but even with that to some degree, got to be consideration. I mean, there are some cases where people, doesn't matter, it should be no bail. But who can trust these people to make that decision anyway? But nevertheless, okay, people If you are being accused of a crime and you've never had problems, you don't have a criminal record, you're someone in the community, you're working and you hold a solid job, you're a family man or whatever the case may be, well, they should let you go on your own recognizance. And people should, you know, you shouldn't have to be held for bail. People are not going to escape anyway. They'll get caught eventually. But nevertheless, they have to be given the opportunity, you know. And again, if a person is a criminal, they've got a lot of offenses and stuff. Well, yeah, then maybe I guess they do need bail. But their bails are exorbitant. It's ridiculous. Okay, non-excessive fines imposed, and they never restore the injured body, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. That's a real joke, isn't it? You know, they people are just abused in the system, especially if you're a patriot and you're arrested, they're going to really abuse you. Okay, so it's problems. If people want to continue living with this, then, you know, what are you going to do? Let me see if anything in here. This is here. I just want to read this one here. And this is 18 U.S.C. subsection 2385. So it's U.S. Code 2385. U.S. Code subsection 2385, which is 18. Advocating overthrow of the government. Knowingly advocating, teaching, printing, or organizing groups to overthrow the United States or the government by force or violence, up to 20 years plus a fine. Okay. The bar schools teach the advocating, the teaching, the printing to overthrow the government. They are organized groups for that purpose. The purpose of the bar ultimately, which was really pressed forward very strongly by the King of Britain in 1750, they were sent here for the sole purpose to destroy our courts, to turn them into courts of chancery. Our founding fathers spoke about these courts of chancery in the Federalist Papers, and particularly, I think, in the Anti-Federalist Papers. But we ended up not having chancery courts because they were problematic, obviously. You don't get due process. A judge off the fly makes it up, does what he wants. But that's where we're at, and we need to do something about this. And so I've decided and thought about this. I mean, I may tweak it a little bit one way or another. I was thinking of doing this personally and getting as many people that would want their names put onto it, do it from perspective of just the people coming in a court case. Also, I was thinking of doing this in pieces, okay, maybe 6 or 7 court cases, so that we break up the violations. And that's going to cost a lot of money. Either way, it's going to cost money, but it's going to cost a lot of money, more money to go in that route. But I decided that the best way to do this is in one case, is one case going through the system, laying it all out, and trying to get as many people as possible who claim to be patriots to see this case, to see what's going on, and to get behind this case, because we need the people behind this case, we need this administration behind this case, and we need as many congressmen and senators as possible behind this case. But most of all, we need the people behind this case. And so we need to get this word out to the people and get them involved in this. I thought about this and I decided, well, I think we do need to do this from the perspective of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which we've already got approval to do that, because that's why we're going into the courts. We have that approval by the grand jury quite some time ago to go forward to press these cases in that we've pressed into the courts to prove the fact that they are conspiring against the people. And, you know, we know it's a conspiracy when they do the exact same thing in any federal court you go into. They all operate the same way. And that proves conspiracy. We need to bring in the fact to the United States Supreme Court that we have indicted the federal judiciary. And we're not going in there to ask them anything. We're coming in there as we the people. We'll be the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, a.k.a., also known as, we the people. And we are not asking for anything. We are commanding them to obey the Constitution. We the people ordained and established this Constitution, and they are to be obedient to that. They have no power, no authority to change it. One tittle of the law. They have no power to do that. Yet they have done it by rules, and these things I just listed out is just a huge list of violations against the people. There are no courts of justice. They don't exist, and only the people can bring it back. Only the people can get behind this. So, anyway, I've asked last week that people... Now, we haven't been able to get this out to our membership, so it's only the people that have been coming to our meetings here that I put this out to. We've tried to send the emails out, and they're just not going out. But again, hopefully tomorrow we'll get it back up, and I'm going to get some information out and let people know what we're doing to get them here maybe to the next meeting. I'm going to get some video up on Rumble and up on YouTube as soon as I can, kind of laying this out, maybe within 10 minutes. I want to do a short one, let the people know what we're doing and hopefully get them behind us. But we need to get to our full membership. We have about 12,000 people, and we need to get this message out to them. Hopefully they'll get involved and give us some donations to do this. To go with one court case to the Supreme Court, I'm guessing around $10,000. You know, it costs money to go into the court to begin with. Okay, and then, you know, it's going to be a couple of hundred pages, or at least close to a couple of hundred pages, but I think it's going to be a couple of hundred, maybe even a little over, because we're going to add the indictment in that we did on the federal judiciary. I don't remember how many pages that was, but we're going to add that in there. So let's say about 200 pages, and we have to send that out. We want to copy Trump's entire administration, which is about 40 people, and some congressmen and a few senators. So they got to go out. It's got to be mailed out. That costs money, the printing and the paperwork, the money. We have to file into the courts and pay their extortion, you know. We're going to make that argument, too. How dare they charge we the people money to go into our courts, not your courts, Mr. Judge, our courts. We own these courts. We paid for the building. We paid your salary. We pay for all the people working in that system. We pay for your computers, the papers, the ink, everything you use. We pay the salaries of all those people. How dare they charge us a price to go into the courts? You know, originally the price, the requirement to pay to go into the court was for fictions only, in other words, corporations. Never meant for the people. We have free justice. We're not supposed to be paying for and what are we paying for injustice anyway, you know? But we have to take the courts back. We have to get this out to the people. We have to get this on. I do believe we're just at the right time. You know, we then have to go from the trial court, which I think could be out of there in a couple of months because they can't hear it at all. They know they can't hear it. We know they can't hear it. That's why we have a right to go directly to the Supreme Court with this case because it's constitutional violations. But they're denying us. So we got to go into the trial court. That may take 2 months or so to get through that process and denied and thrown out. And that's what we expect. We move it then to the appellate court. And it'll probably take a couple of months there. They'll throw it out because they don't have the authority, the ability to make a decision on this. Okay? And then that's when we move to the Supreme Court. And it may take 6 months or so. So it's going to take about 8-9 months, really, to get to the point where we might be able to be heard in the Supreme Court as far as them choosing to hear the case. And if we lay out the case, at least the first couple of pages, very simply to describe what the case is all about, and then, of course, the full case, because I don't think many people will read through the full case. Anybody who's taken a law course, you should definitely read through the full case. Anybody interested in really knowing what's going on, and get some kind of a really super education and understand what the powers and the authority of the courts truly are and how they've been abusing it, I tell you, you should read the case. But most people won't read the case, and that's okay. If they read the first part of the case, the first couple of pages, which lays out the main part of the, you know, list out the problems and the violations, that's enough to get people's attention. And we need to get these things out to places, and eventually we need conversations moving on these social medias. We need to get this out to the people, otherwise we will not be successful. We have to have people talking about this. We have to have people getting behind this. We have to have people supporting this. But anyway, going up to the Supreme Court is, again, another fee to pay. And I forget how many, I think it's 12 copies of the case that you have to give. So, and again, we have to send copies to 40 people plus, you know, for the administration to get those people behind what we're doing and to see what's going on. And we need the people's voice behind this. So, okay. So I did announce and ask for money last month. I just want to give a report on how much we've collected so far. And hopefully next week we'll hopefully do better. We've collected $0. But with that, we'll go take questions. We'll take our first caller here. Linda from Virginia, you got the mic. Go right ahead. I think you do. Let me see if I got that right. Did I open that up? It didn't open. Let me try doing it this way. All right, you got the mic, Linda. Go right ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. As you know, I have this ridiculous situation with trying to buy a HVAC system and getting ensnared in a complete fraud, extortion, you know, entrapment situation. And I was doing the notice and demand, and I had finished it, or at least I thought I did, and I got all the the service process to serve the papers. I have four parties in it. The parent company, the finance company, the local business, and then a possible maybe subcontractor, I'm not sure. But anyway, I was going through the notice and demand, and I got to the very end of it, your template or whatever, and it says, "You are hereby advised that and it starts talking about affidavits. It says, indeed, no more than affidavits is necessary to make the prima facie case. Allegations in affidavits in support of motion must be considered as true in absence of counter affidavits. And then an affidavit, if not contested in a timely manner, is considered undisputed facts as a matter of law." So, I mean, I had went through here and, you know, of course, had to make changes specific to my situation because some of it didn't apply. One of them was color of law. And I pretty much think I confirmed that color of law applies, you know, maybe not exclusively, but pretty much to public officials, like government officials. So anyway, my question is the notice and demand considered an affidavit?
Well, it most definitely is an affidavit form, yes.
Okay. It just kind of threw me, and I was like, does that apply or not apply, you know?
Well, yeah, and what you were probably reading, I'm looking for a copy right now, but you were probably reading with some footnotes, and because what you are, notice and demand is has got to be in an affidavit form, so at the bottom of that, you're going to make a sworn, that this is a sworn statement.
it's not footnotes. It's part of the notice and demand. It's at the very end, right before the signature, right before the notary.
All right, yeah, let me take a look. I'm looking for that right now. Notice and demand. Okay, right here. We'll take the word, I guess. Okay, so you're saying on the bottom here.
Yeah,
where
the very bottom, right before the notary.
Okay, so it says, oh, okay, yeah, there's a series of things that you're making a point with. And these things, if you fail to satisfy the demand within the allotted time that after having been duly served with this notice and demand, then by tactic proclamation, I, your name, on my or my nominee or my assigned will determine for you the following.
Right.
That, and this brings you to now bring this when they... When they don't respond to this, okay, then they acquiesced. And so they acquiesce within the 30 days, which is what you should at least give them, the 30 days. So they acquiesce to that. Now you're going to move this into the federal court, and you're going to demand a summary judgment and a filing for the to the sheriff for retrieval of whatever it is, you know. Let me finish. Hold on. So let me finish reading this. So my nominee or assigned will determine for you the following: that the aforesaid demand is just; that a court of record in your state, I got New York, but in your state, may enforce the demand either ex parte or con parte; that you and each of you concur and are satisfied with the justness of the demand and the process by which the demand shall be enforced. You are hereby advised that, indeed, no more than an affidavit is necessary, and it keeps going on, allegations in an affidavit in support of the motion, an affidavit that is uncontested in a timely matter is considered undisputed. This is making the point that they that you're doing an affidavit, they need to respond with an affidavit, and if they don't respond to the with an affidavit and deny point by point whatever it is that you put up, then they acquiesce to the case, you move into the courts for summary judgment, and if we're in a court of justice, you'd get it.
Right. You either affirm or deny, and basically it, without them responding, if they don't respond, they're affirming everything you say.
Exactly. And if they respond, then they don't rebut everything in it, then whatever they don't rebut to, they've admitted to, they acquiesce to, and that might be enough for a summary judgment for the totality.
But I know I've read other people that have had this same situation with them, the fraud and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have already said they don't respond to the notice and demand.
I know. Well, let's hope they don't, because it makes it easy, doesn't it? Because they will respond.
I would think summary judgment, and if ask the court for summary judgment, and if they don't, they should not be allowed to say anything, you know, because
And if the judge allows them to come in, then you appeal it.
I would object.
Here is the problem, okay? And I know I mentioned this to you before, maybe.
Wait, let me finish that. In order to take things on appeal, you have to object. You have to object it. So you have to make sure that you object to if they say anything further. You would have to object it.
You've learned that somewhere, or you learned that from us. Of course, you have to object. There's no way. Look at when a lawyer is going to take this case at some point when you move it into the court, okay? And they're going to try to, first of all, they're going to try to poison the court, number one, just by lying. Believe me, the lies are just unbelievable. And the judges will hang their hats on the lies and not make a mention of anything you say, depending on who the case is up. Let me tell you, there are times you can get something going in the courts. If the people that you're going up against is not part of the status quo, then you have a chance, okay? Because once in a while, they do the right thing to some degree, okay? But if it's going up against the status quo, you know, if you're going up against something like Microsoft or any kind of a large corporation, you're not getting nowhere with them, without, especially without a lawyer. And you'll have to spend millions of dollars to get the case, to try to win it. If you were to win it, you'd spend $1 million to win it. And that's how seriously defunct our court system is. But here's the thing. You should win it through, you know, and again, we teach people how to move through the court to go for a summary judgment. You're going to take this notice and demand. You're going to file it into the courts. You're going to serve, you know, you're going to write a paper, 2 or 3 pages, and you're going to be asking the court to have a summary judgment on this. They've already been served on this. They've already acquiesced, so on and so forth. And I would demand at that point a hearing of physically going there. Because that way, if they try to sneak in and play their stupid games, because it's to go back and forth with the papers with the lawyers.
My concern with this is
it out. Hold on. You need to snuff it out in the very beginning at a hearing, right off the bat. They have acquiesced. There's nothing to talk about here. Now,
right.
But the worst case scenario, okay, they'll want to require them to have an opportunity to respond. Now, if they have that opportunity to respond, you can go through the appeal system at that point on that decision to begin with, as they're going through the process. And they're not going to what they're going to respond with is with their lawyer swearing on their behalf.
They should not be given another opportunity to respond because you already gave them. I'm giving them 30 days to respond.
We have spent a lot of time talking about this case. I've been very clear with what has to be done. But I am telling you, just for a side note, what's probably going to happen, okay? And again, you're going up against the status quo, so that's one thing. But there is a lawyer on the other side that's making money, that's going in on behalf of these people at this point, okay? And there's going to be a little bit of a tipping of the hat between the judge and the lawyer, most likely, but not necessarily.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Right. Well, that's the way of life. Life is full of risks.
They don't just have an attorney. They have armies of attorneys. The parent company.
Okay, fine. I don't want to get into that because I really would like to talk about the subject matter at hand, but I'm given the opportunity to finish off some points on your case that we have discussed numerous times in the past, and I'm just telling you, you're right. They shouldn't be doing this. You're right. They are coming in maybe with an army of lawyers. Yeah, that is injustice. Okay, you're going to try to hope that you're going to be able to get it through, but if you don't, then you're going to have to deal with reality, and you're going to have to go through the process while you are appealing that decision. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely David and Goliath.
Yeah.
And
well, that's all I
know.
That's all I got.
I already know I'm doing an appeal. That's
yeah.
You know, it's guaranteed.
I was taught by a lawyer in the beginning. Okay. Seems like a nice guy, but he didn't understand the Constitution. He didn't understand common law. And he was a bar attorney, you know, it is what it is. Nice guy, though. Nevertheless, he said one of the things that he taught was that when you go to court, run your case as if you're going to appeal it. Okay? You plan for the appeal as you're running your case from the very...
You have to.
Yes. And that's the way it is. Okay, I don't want to get too much more in this.
Let me say one more thing, because you were talking about the Supreme Court earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Supreme Court a bottle? It's a bottleneck. There aren't that many courts that you really can run a case through. I mean, you have the trial courts, and then maybe a state Supreme Court, and then maybe federal. But after that, you know, there really aren't that many opportunities. And the Supreme Court, you know, it's a showstopper. I mean, that's what it's there for, it seems like. I mean, it seems like it's a bottleneck.
Listen, they've created criminals. It's a criminal group of people. All these bar attorneys, they're criminals. Okay, you know, you might find an honest attorney here or there to some degree. I haven't found them. Okay, it's all about money all the time. Their focus is on money all the time, and that's been my experience. Okay, and they will They have no scruples. They don't have any scruples at all. They are taught to lie. I mean, every time going to court, they lie. And
one thing I found.
I'm trying to teach at the same time. I've gone into courts with papers so strong, so powerful, okay, and they didn't rebut anything, didn't do an affidavit on anything, and then the lawyer will come up. And he will take and twist everything I said into something else. I mean, total bald-faced lie. If you read both papers together, this is what they say that I said, and this is what I said. It's just a bald-faced lie. Okay, literally pages and pages and pages they'll write. And then they'll send it to the judge with a wink and a nod, and the judge will then make a decision and quote everything of their lies on why the case will not should have to be thrown out or whatever, because that's what they look for, is to throw the case out. That's what they do. And that's just the reality of things, okay? And people are getting the courts that they deserve. You're not paying attention. You're not interested in fixing them. You're not interested in getting behind the movement to try to bring our courts back to, courts of justice. Then we get exactly what we deserve, you know?
Well, one aspect of it, I think those people are in there all day, every day. And for the most part, people are not knowledgeable. You know, they're just not. And so they just get used to getting away with being complacent and lazy, you know?
They're not worried about being impeached. They never get impeached. They're not worried about going to jail. They very rarely go to jail. Okay, no one's really paying attention. Everybody's protecting each other. It's the good old boys club. Right. Look, we got to turn this thing upside down and shake it. That's why every single federal judge must go, and I will push it even further than that. Any judge from even through the state courts, they should go too. But no judge, no person who comes in as a, first of all, a judge is required in an equity case, not in a law case. When a judge goes into a law case, he's supposed to put on his, coming in just to make decisions like a traffic cop, okay? He puts on his magistrate cap, which means he can't make any decisions. He can't throw anything out of court. He just keeps the court case moving and then enforces the will of the jury. That's what happens in a court of law. But they have taken control of a court of law a long time ago, and by the 1934 Rules Enabling Act that came into effect in 1938, we've lost everything. We've lost our Constitution.
Well, that's one thing I think about, is the same structure is in place, and yet we've grown, the population has exploded, and we have this same structure trying to address all these cases. It's so inadequate, you know?
Well, look, just go to any college, stand outside and ask college students questions about what's going on in this world. Ask them what they know about what's going in the courts. They haven't got a clue on anything, and these are college students. They don't even know who our founding fathers are. I'm dead serious on that. I've seen these people, you know, where they go in and they ask these students these questions. They don't know where different places on the map is. Okay.
Yeah, Jesse Waters does that. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The ignorance and stupidity. They have been demoralized.
Let me ask you something. You said they kicked the Supreme Court. You filed the papers and they kicked it back.
The doorkeepers there. They just push it back. They tell me I have to do something. They tell me I got to go down and start at the trial court. And I've sent it back twice, and I said, you're not looking at the papers here. This is not a trial court decision. We're coming in as with a presentment from the grand jury. Okay? Kicked it back again. They don't care.
Well, that's because they only recognize their...
Oh, yeah, and it's an explosive case. We're putting their sins on paper and out there for everyone to see.
I see, yeah.
You know, and I'm telling you right now, we are primed for this, okay? Right now is the time because of what Trump is doing, the things he's saying, okay?
The time for what?
To move to the Supreme Court, to get this before the Supreme Court. If there's enough, if we get this out into the conversation out there, you know, on all of these social medias to begin with, and we get big people, you know, in government behind us, like his administration, then it's all going to be seen. Everyone's going to see it. Remember what Trump did at his last State of the Union? And he made certain statements, and he says, everybody here that is for the people, over and above the illegals in this country, and however he said that, but the illegals that have come in, stand up if you're for the people first. And there was a couple of Democrats that did actually stand up there, but the Democrats didn't stand up. They were exposed. Right. They were exposed, okay? So, and he did a few things like that. And he just exposed them. And you can see the nervousness of some of these people. You can see on their faces when the camera caught certain things. And they held it out for a long time. They kept clapping, 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 clapping. And you can see they're shrinking in their seats. One guy's chewing his nails, okay, because they know they should have stood up. You know, they really did a big job moving towards the probability that they're not going to get reelected, at least if their constituents are watching. But people are ignorant. They don't know what's going on.
Well, Trump, I believe Trump gets it, you know, and I think he's spent a lot of time studying,
Yeah, power. Of course he gets it. He gets it. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he's a president like no other president, because he understands what needs to be done. He sees the corruption all around. He knows what has to be done, and he's doing it. And he's a unique individual. There's no doubt. He is uniquely positioned. And
But I really think, since the population of the country has expanded, that the legal avenues should be expanded, not by packing the Supreme Court, at this time.
Our founding fathers said that the Supreme Court should not get involved in issues. The Bible in the school is an issue.
That's the first argument, and I like the saying that the Supreme Court is opinions. They're not.
Well, that's because it could change. That's why they call it opinions. But they make it the law for a period of time. The point is, though, is we let these people decide things. They're only to decide things in equity, not in law. And people, if they don't understand the difference between equity and law, then they really still have a serious problem. Because equity is also referred to as positive law. But equity itself falls under the rules of common law, because that's what was established on the foundation of our law in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God. We're under the rules of common law. Now, equity, again, being positive law, is the legislative law. And the purpose of legislative law, we've given them authority in Article 1, okay, I think it's Section 8 or 9, I think it's 8, but we've given them powers and authority to make law, and the sole purpose of making that law is listed out very clearly. But their law is for the sole purpose of people who are in government, working in government agencies. It's to control government agencies, and it's to control, commercial activities, in the case of the federal level, interstate commercial activities. So that's what it's to control. It has nothing to do with we the people. You know, your traffic court has to do with commercial activity. Has nothing to do with we the people. We did
right.
not give them power or authority.
And then we're under maritime law.
Well, forget all that, because, again, that's just, that really kind of, it really doesn't come to play in a sense, because maritime law is one thing. They are applying U.S. codes against the people. That's what they're doing, okay? And they have created civil law, which is legislative law, and is applying that against the people, okay? And the people are too ignorant to understand and to know, because they, when they have the opportunity to hear and learn, they don't, okay? It is true we've been destroyed in our schools, because we didn't learn these things. Look at, I went to school in the 50s and the 60s, and I didn't learn these things, even though I went during those years, okay? They had already taken that out of the school, They created the Department of Education, Someone was complaining to me recently, I forget, it might even been on one of our meetings, that, you know, they're destroying education because they're abolishing the Department of Education. Yeah, great, they need to. It doesn't belong there. It belongs to the people. It belongs back into the local areas. And let the people decide what kind of an education they want their children to have. That's what the school boards are supposed to be involved with the people who's the parents of the children going to that school, to decide what curriculum is required. Now, the state can say, well, look, there are certain things you have to learn, you have to teach. And they can, there are obvious requirements, you know, learning English, learning mathematics, okay? They should require civics. They should require constitutional studies. Okay, so the states could make those decisions, and they should be. Okay, right. Then the parents get the opportunity to get involved. And what kind of a textbook do you want? You know, they can get involved, and they should, but they have to get educated. They have to get involved to do that. They have to look at the textbooks of what's being proposed and read to it and say, no, come on, look, this is not right. And they can make that argument to the school board. And look, if the school board is a Nazi school board, well, we teach you how to get rid of that school board. You can get rid of that school board in let's say 3 days, you know, so to speak. It's a 3-day process. They have to respond in 3 days or they lose their position. And then anybody can fill their seat till the next election. But people need to know these things. They need to learn these things. You can't have government by consent if you don't know those things. You can't have government by consent if you don't know the Constitution, because you can't know when they're violating the Constitution. You can't have government by consent when you don't even realize that they don't know the Constitution. Like Biden said, you know, he talked about I forget what part of the Constitution, and he said, you know the thing. I mean, he had no clue. Okay, no clue. And I forget what it was, something in the Bill of Rights, I think. But, you know, and the people, if they're not going to give a little time and teach your children that they owe back to society also, we need to teach that in schools. Look at when you grow up and become an adult, you need to give back to society. You know, you need to get involved in your committee of safety local. You know, at least for a period of time. And as Jefferson said, you know, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never ever will be. And as Benjamin Franklin said, you know, you got a republic if you can keep it. So you see, it's up to the people to keep the republic. It's up to the people to understand the republic. And we're not a democracy. Democracy is something, they just keep repeating that over and over and over again. They created a party called the Democratic Party. Now everybody in the world, and not just in the United States, everybody in the world thinks we are a democracy. It's a lie from Hades. That's not true. We are not a democracy. Our founding fathers literally, in the Federalist Papers, said there is not a tincture of democracy in this government. And it uses the word a republican form of government. Guaranteed. People don't know those things, so, hey, you don't have it. You're not going to have it. You'll never have it. You know, it's just the same old thing over and over again. So, anyway, I'm going to take the next caller because it's getting late.
Okay. All right. Hey. Thank you so much.
Okay, I don't know why this button ain't working. Let me try it again. Okay, Anonymous, you've been... let me see. Hang on a minute. Yeah, you've been open. What's your first name and your state? You should have been heard that your mic's been unmuted.
Yes. Hello. This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Good evening. I have kind of a run into a situation where my home insurance company is canceling my insurance, and they rush to say, well, there's several people who are being, the same thing's happening because of fire concerns. And so I found another insurance company, and the application says there that, you know, on the second or third page, it says that, you know, if any of these things are not the case, you know, that the house is in great condition and everything, that, that you know, it'll be insurance fraud on my part. And so I'm stuck because I have to have insurance on the home for my loan. And
so you go hire an engineer to do an inspection and to certify, you know, the structures by the electrical system. You don't have to worry about it. Then you got it certified.
Well, I have, and it's falling apart.
Oh, the house is falling apart.
Oh yeah, this is what I've mentioned this a few times. So
they could be concerned. Yeah, I can understand the insurance company being concerned, being at a higher risk. I mean, you can say to him, well, you know, are you planning on making the repairs?
No, I'm planning on. I'm building a case about this because I have problems everywhere, and they should not have sold me this house. The house is actually expiring, according to one structural engineer, and it's an FHA loan. So I'm just keeping my mortgage paid.
Well, hold it. Wasn't there an inspection done before you bought the house?
Yes, it was, and it was nothing. It was a very inspection. Yeah.
Whoa, hold. Look it. There's a there's a competency problem here. Competency.
Was it competency, you mean?
Competency, yeah.
Yes, sir, yeah, I agree.
Pronouncing it. Here's the problem. There are three individuals that could be liable here, okay? There's four, okay? The homeowner themselves, if they knew certain things, and you could prove it, and maybe there are things that they can't not know, and you can prove that, okay, that makes them liable to a degree. Then there's the individual who came and did the inspection. They're liable. They're supposed to be insured.
Right.
You go after them. Then there is the lawyer that represented them. They're liable. Again, you have to dig in and deep and find out. You also may find out that your lawyer is liable.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because they should have known and required certain things.
Right.
And because you can't make a house sale without doing an inspection. There has to be someone come in, and they have to be someone that's competent to do the inspection.
There was one done by the realtor.
By the who?
Yeah, it looked all great.
One done by the who?
By the selling realtor, the seller's realtor. There was one done.
Was it an engineer that did it?
Say again?
Was it an engineer that did the inspection? The last thing you want is some kind of a contractor doing the inspection. You want someone that's got an engineering background to do it.
Well, it's...
Or an architectural background. They have to understand structure. They have to understand the electric. They have to understand the makeup of the construction of a home.
Well, the certification engineer said the house had never been moved. It was site-built. And that's not true because the county hasn't moved here.
There you go. Hold on. Stop. You just hit a piece of gold possibly here. Look at, was that moved by the person you bought it from or from the person before them that owned it?
No, it was moved here by the previous owner's son. It was moved here in 2019. And then
that destroyed the whole contract. You should go into court and deal with this. There's a lot you can explore here. I've given you a lot that I don't know if you realize how much I've given you, and you probably already knew a lot of it anyway. But
my
there's all people that signing, go after.
My main concern is signing a new insurance policy I need to have the house insured so that I can continue the work on getting this made right. And, you know, if I sign it, I'm committing insurance fraud. And so I was looking into
Let's go back a step here.
Okay.
You have violations that you can fix and you're planning on fixing.
I cannot fix them. This house is expiring. One contractor told me that...
I don't even know what that means, expiring. Is it going to fall down one day or something?
Yeah, these houses are made to only last 40 years, and this year it's 40 years.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything per se. I mean, what is it that's about the house? Look, if it's a 40-year-old home, it was probably done with a 2x4, construction. I don't see the 2x4 construction failing, okay? The other thing is you have...
John, it's a manufactured house, and it was built in 1986.
Okay.
And they said it was a renovation.
Okay, are you in the north?
Beg your pardon?
Do you live in the north or the south?
in the north or the south? Is that what
you're saying? The United States. Are you, you know, you're
in New York? I'm in Arizona.
Okay. All right. So, you know, things are a little different in Arizona than, of course, it would be up in New York or something like that. Okay. Because, you know, there's temperature things, you know, insulation, not enough insulation. But, you know, if you go back 40 years, I know back in those days that they already moved certain requirements for insulation, 2x6 structure in opposed to 2x4, and they had a lot more different, you know, structural, for instance, your roof's construction, your floor construction, your joists.
All of that is I'm telling you, all of it is falling apart, and I'm concerned about keeping insurance on the house.
But I don't. How do you know it's falling apart? Did someone say this is falling apart?
Well, I'm living in it. I'm watching it.
But that doesn't mean you don't necessarily know that. 40 years. Let me think about this. 40 years. We're 25.
I've already had really good inspections done on it to verify that it's happening.
But you're going back to the 80s, okay?
Yeah.
And in the, you know, anything before, if you move into the 70s, especially the 60s, and even the 50s or the 40s, you know, then there are a lot of violations back then. But up in the 80s, things were pretty tight. And the construction is required certain, you know, for instance, your framing construction has certain requirements, okay? They'll require maybe a Douglas fir construction. Now, because it's in Arizona, they may allow a 2x4 structure, okay?
This is a manufactured home that was.
I understand that, but it has to be certified. When you move, I've sold many modular homes, okay? And when you move a home, and if you buy a home from one place and you're going to bring it into another place, that has to have a certification. If it's built in, for instance, if it was actually built in New York where I live, they're already certified for a New York construction. If you were to buy a modular home from someone down south and you're going to bring it up, you have to have an engineer certify that construction is proper for coming.
We had that. That was done as part of it. And he said the house was site-built, had never been moved. And that's not true.
That's a violation of the sale.
That's true. Now, my concern, my concern is signing something and, you know, I'm telling them everything is fine to keep the insurance so I can keep my loan. So I can continue to live here until I get the...
I'm going to give you some quick advice, okay? Do you have a contractor?
I do.
Okay. Now, the contractor is insured to begin with, okay? And what kind of work is he planning on doing to upgrade that house?
Well, when I thought it was just upgradable, he came out and he was going to replace all the floors. And
when you're replacing all the floors, is he talking about he's replacing carpeting? Is he replacing tile? Is he replacing plywood? The subflooring? Is he replacing structure of the floor joists? What is he doing?
Well, we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it's all of those things are a mess. And the it's not sealed. I don't want
to. But what did he say he's going to do? He had to write something up. What does it mean to replace the flooring? Explain what he wants to do to replace the flooring.
Well, he was going to replace the flooring in the whole house.
Well, what does that mean?
Do you
have wood floors? He wants to take up the wood floors. Does he have tile? Is there carpet? Is there underlayment? What is it?
It's tile.
Okay, so he wants to take the tile up and put new tile down.
Well, that would be like putting, the place is rotting.
It's rotting. You must have had lots of leaks in the roof or someplace. I mean, sometimes what you could do is
it's getting worse.
Listen,
the floors are cracking and water comes in during rains,
storms. Okay, well, then those areas got to be cut out. You cut out the rot and you replace it. If the floor joist structurally is unsound, you would do some sister joicing. In other words, my point I'm trying to make is this. You have to have an evaluation. I would tell you what your best thing
I've
to do.
I've already done that, dear. I've already done that, and it's not fixable. The house is expiring.
I've never heard the word expiring before in my entire life. I've been a contractor for like 45, 50 years. So I got to think about that. 45 years I was a contractor.
Okay, well, if you came out here, it would blow your mind.
Expiring, okay.
If you came out here, it would blow your mind. My concern is I've got to get other insurance in order to keep things in order.
Yes, I'm trying to tell you how to get that insurance, okay?
No, first, I have the insurance.
Let me talk. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do, and then you can go do whatever you think you want to do. But let me tell you exactly what you need to do, okay? You have to have an engineer come in there or an architect. Okay, you hire one out, you know, and maybe they'll charge you $2,000, $2,500. Again, you know, I've been out for a little while, so whatever the prices are for them to come in. You want to know exactly, you want them to come and tell you what is to make this house fixable, you know, so that you can live in it and it's going to last another 20, 30 years or whatever you want to tell them, okay? You want to bring this thing up to some kind of a code and make sure it lasts. So he will come in, and he may cut a few holes here or there to look at certain things in the wall. He's going to make certain evaluations. And if let's say there's problems with the joists aren't strong enough, it doesn't meet code. First of all, back in those days, it should have been done with Douglas fir, so there's no reason that should go bad unless, okay, first of all, they undercoated it. Maybe they should have been 2x10s and they put in 2x8s. That could be a problem. So it's an easy fix. You put another 2x8 next to all the other 2x8.
Fix here. The pylons underneath are at 45-degree angles.
Okay, again, I'm going to get back to the solution, okay, your solution. You may not like the solution, but this is the only... If you called me up as a contractor to come in, this is exactly what I'd write up and tell you, okay? And I've been doing this.
I've had ones come out here, and they told me the house has been dropped, and they've told, you know, other things that are going on with it.
But it doesn't mean anything, okay? You have to have an engineer or an architect come in. You spend your $2,500, $3,000, or whatever it is, to have the architect come in, make the notes, evaluate the structure, evaluate the, you know, whatever insulation requirements there are, and maybe take a look at your roofing. Maybe let me finish. Then maybe whatever roofing repairs, any places where there's been water damage, it has to be exposed. Look, he replaced the rot. He will write a report, and he'll probably even put a few, drawings in there for if there's any structural problems. He's going to put a few drawings to protect and fix the structural problems. And then you have a contractor come in. You bid it out to at least three contractors. Okay. When they come in, they have to supply the insurance on the home during construction, and you give that to the bank. It's under construction. Here's the insurance, and it's out of your hands. For you need an insurance until it's done. They have to have the proper insurance for that. Okay, that's how you're going to beat this. You don't need to have the insurance if the contractor has the insurance till he passes it over to you.
Sorry. You know, I'm really sorry to waste your time. I'm just trying to find out. I'm trying to find a way. I wanted to ask you about chain of custody because the house was insured by an insurance home insurance company, and they dropped me. And so now I have a new contract, and it's telling me that, you know, all of these things are the way that we understand they are. And if they aren't, then it's insurance fraud. And so I need to have insurance on the house. So I have to sign
how you're going to get insurance. Your contractor,
and I don't want to.
Your contractor will put the insurance on it for construction. Okay, that's the insurance you'll have, and then when he finishes it, now you have to have your insurance on top.
When I've had contractors come out here, they say if the county saw this, they would red tag the house.
Okay, all right, I told you what to do. Go talk to an engineer. I have been around this business so long, and let me tell you something. There's a lot of flaky contractors out there, I'm going to tell you right now. I bid against a lot of these people.
That's not what my question is regarding. I'm trying to ask, what about chain of custody? Because the house was insured by a company when I bought it. And they fraudulently insured. I mean, they did a lot of things that were wrong. I wasn't even insured for the first 10 months. And so I'm just trying to find a way to honestly move forward. I mean, I could sign this, but if there's something I can write about chain of custody, because they just dropped me and over some stupid idea about fires. We don't even have fires out here.
Well, you have a point with chain of custody, but I don't know what that would be. I don't know enough about that.
Okay.
And you'd have to talk with someone who, again, understands that, and that brings you, unfortunately, to a lawyer.
Yeah, well, the lawyers, I've talked to 10 of them. 15 of them.
And?
They want money. That's all they want.
Well, yeah, well,
they
that's true.
They want to give me due process.
Go in. You can pay a lawyer for a consultation. You call up a lawyer, you say, hey, I'd like to get some consultation. I got some questions. What do you charge an hour? And they'll tell you what they charge an hour. And you make an appointment, then you go in, but you make your notes and paper, get everything together what you need, and you go in, and you're asking on what the law is for these things, okay? And then you can let them know, look, I'm going to need a lawyer for different things here anyway, and if your rates are reasonable, or you can give me some good lump sum pricing on things, I'll...
They tell me to go get an investigator and find out how... I've got 10 parties. You know, all of these people had fiduciary duty to take care of me, and they didn't.
Okay, the investigator is to go to do the research to gather the evidence.
I'm sorry, you know, okay.
That's what
you don't want to answer the question.
Am I wrong on that? Is that not what they're telling you, to get someone to investigate to gather the evidence?
I have investigated, and I do have evidence.
Okay, so you go and get a consultation with a lawyer. You make an appointment, you find out what the hourly rate is, and you ask to sit down for an hour and talk.
I've done that, and they're just like you described. They tell me, go get all these parties. You take these parties, and you get an investigator, and you find out how many assets they have. And some of them will have houses in other states, and they want to know exactly how much money that these parties have. And, you know, it's like, it's not about justice. It's not about that at all. And right now I'm just trying to see.
Okay, I've already given you the best I can give you. I'm telling you the ways to get around this. I'm not saying that you shouldn't sue these people, but that if you've done the investigation for that, you should start that process too, you know?
I am.
And if you're going to go get a lawyer, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. That's a fact. That's why
I don't have an arm and a leg.
Learn the law themselves.
Oh. You know, it's not worth an arm and a leg. I'm just trying to just. I guess I got my answer that there's no answer. I have to.
I've given you a lot of answers. If you want to fix the house and you got the money.
I don't want to fix the house. It's rotting.
So what do you want to do with it?
Well, I want another house.
Okay, then go sue people now because you've got plenty of people.
That's right. This is off topic. So I'm just talking about, you know, moving to another home insurance, and in order to keep my loan, I have FHA, I've been paying, I make sure everything is done right, so that I can stay here and continue to do this case. So mm-hmm. I if I sign it, and it's not true that everything isn't all neat and tidy and all that, I'm committing a crime. Should I write a paper that says something about, I need to learn about chain of custody because it was handed over back to me.
We got one other person who's getting late, but let me ask you one other question here. And you know, the thing, when you're talking about you want to get another house, okay,
yeah.
What is it that they want you to say or swear to on a piece of paper for insurance? What are they looking for you to say?
Because all these things are checked off about, do you have problems here? Do you have problems there? And they checked them for me, like no problems.
How long ago did you buy this house?
In 22.
Okay. Why don't you go dig up the report and stick that to the insurance company and say, insure me. It's done.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, you know, it happened to me.
Look, I got a report. I just bought the house a couple of years ago, and here's the report on the inspection and everything required before the sale, and here it is. Now, I will tell you one thing, though. If you were to do that, insure the house, and then sell it, and you don't inform the people you're selling to all the problems.
You wouldn't dream of selling this house, John.
Against you,
it would be morally wrong to sell
this house.
That's
the point. You might be able to go after those people for that point.
That's right. But in the meantime, you're saying get the report that came out regarding,
right.
Yeah, like I have a...
You wanted to know, you don't, you say to them very simply, look, I'm not a contractor, I know nothing about construction, I have to rely on professionals. Look, when I bought the house, I only bought it a couple of years ago, here's the report, I need some insurance, you're going to insure me or what? Let it go from there?
I've already got the insurance, it's just they're having trouble with the application because I...
Okay, then go get the report and give it to them. There's nothing more you can do. They can't ask you structural questions, they can't ask you questions that you don't have knowledge of, and you tell them, this is why I paid the Well, probably the other side paid for the inspection,
right.
I presume. So,
right.
Look, this is why I had to pay through, you know, the process of closing. You know, they supplied the report. Here's the report. Okay, so that's
okay.
The house is fine. Let's insure me.
I'm just trying to find my time. Yeah.
So I got to go because it is getting late and they got only a few minutes.
I don't like to keep you, John. I do not like to waste your time. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Well, look, you got a simple case really at this point, I think, by doing what I just told you.
Yeah, okay.
And there's another process. I gave you quite a few other things you could think about. So.
All right.
Okay,
we're
going to take our next caller. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, actually, it's the last caller. I only had one other person in the queue. Let me see if I can get them going here. It looks like Grant. You should be unmuted. You got the mic right ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I am pretty new to your NLA, your stuff. I've started learning a lot of stuff about basically just learning my own rights because, like, I've heard, like the saying, like, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any, but it's kind of like, I'm guessing that was a maxim of the, if you don't assert your rights, you don't have any. Anyway, I figured, why not just learn them? And so I've come across you and a few other places that I've been learning. I got your book, The Government by Consent. It just came a couple days ago, so I'm going to start working on that. Anyway, I had a quick question for you. Well, actually, I listened to you talking about how the courts are all messed up today.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had like an arraignment for a traffic thing this morning.
Yeah, and they call it an arraignment too, huh? That's interesting. That makes it a crime, you know. But go ahead.
Anyway, so like, I mean, the judge was like, he was just a jerk. He wouldn't let me really even talk or say anything. He just, there's a couple times he actually muted me because it's all done online now. Can't even go to the courthouse anymore.
Okay. So you're looking for some thoughts and ideas here?
Well, yeah, so like the one question I had was, so I had sent, after I'd gotten the citation, I'd sent the prosecutor, I found out who was going to be assigned to the case, I sent him an affidavit just saying everything that I had done, like I had told the officer I do not consent to registering my property, and basically just kind of told him like what had happened. And then how I also had reserved my rights through UCC 1-308.
Yeah, they don't care about it. They don't even know what that is, but go ahead.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so, but the question I have is, like, so I told that to the judge, like, hey, the prosecutor, I didn't get any response back. So, I mean, basically he tacitly acquiesced to the terms of my demands on there. And he's like, oh, that's not how that works. I'm like, well, how does it work? Like, that's my question. It's like he was so rude and everything. He would silence me, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, it's.
What is the infraction?
Just didn't have a license plate.
You have a license plate?
Yeah,
why didn't you have a license plate? I mean, look at I know what you're thinking because I've been through all that stuff with people, but I'm not going to go out there without a license plate because people will convince people that they can do it and get away with it. You can say a few words, click your heels, and you're in justice land. All that is a bunch of BS, I'll tell you. You know, going up and doing a lot of things that these people teach. And again, you know, I learned those things first because I didn't know anything when I first started looking into these things. And little by little, I started to see contradictions, and I started to do my own research, and then eventually I got into this and built this whole thing. But here's the thing, okay? What are they trying to charge you? Well, actually, they're going to try to charge you with a criminal act, I guess. Did you have insurance?
Yeah, I didn't have proof of insurance because I was recording.
Okay, but you have insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the worst-case scenario on driving without a license plate? What are they saying the worst-case scenario is?
I don't know. Probably just like a fine, a couple hundred bucks or something.
Let me tell you, okay, there's a couple of ways to do this, okay? You could try to battle them, and you can run into some serious trouble trying to battle them directly without going through the process. You can go talk to the prosecutor and say, okay, what's the fine? What do I got to do? And if he says, look, $200, go get yourself a license plate. Then spend the $200, go get a license plate, then sue him for denial of due process. Then you take that, and now you have plenty of time to learn that. If you want to do that, and you want to learn that, then we could teach you here, there, right, a couple of things. Number one, you can go to Education Starts Here, highlight that. You're on a computer, you're seeing my desktop? Okay, Education Starts Here, you come down to Law, okay, and then you go over and you come to Court Forms and Process. You click on that, you'll end up on this page. Now, here's instructions, forms for traffic court, okay? I'm not telling you to use this now, okay? This, you got to understand this. If you're going to go to a court, you have to understand this is probably a town court or a village court. Sometimes it's a county court. What court are you in?
This one was a county.
Okay, county court. So you're in a county court, okay? You have to understand how things work, what is due process, how the system works. All courts from the county up operate the same way, you know, whether it's a county court, state court, federal court. That is a little difference here or there. They got different rules, which is BS anyway, you know, but you could deal with their rules as long as they're, as long as they align with you know, the rules of common law. Now, the rules of common law is very simple. You know what the rules of common law? Just very simply, it is really common sense with an eye on justice. That's it. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. You make it up as you go. If it makes common sense and it's focusing in on that which is just and right, it stands in court. Truth is self-evident. There are plenty of maxims out there, thousands and thousands and thousands of maxims that already exist. You can go through maxims. We have a list of some maxims. We have a book up there you can go buy. I didn't write it. You know, written by other people many, many years ago, and you can read through maxims. So we got a lot of places where you can download maxims on our website, and you can read through them and see things and so on. But the thing is, it's very simple: common sense with an eye on justice. That's all the rules of common law is, and common law is natural law. So you have to understand that, and those, that's the position I make everything. I think it was Lincoln who said, you know, I don't care about the law, just give me the facts and I'll win the case. Okay, so he'll win the case on facts and not the law. All right. Now, the problem is they take these rules, which are stupid rules. They're, again, you can find some rules that are okay. They'll pull up and say, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I think it's in line with the common law. But the thing is this, you have to understand the court. You have to understand how due process works. And then how to looking at the forms and get educate yourself by reading court decisions. We have lots of court cases you can read, okay, right on our website. And we have, you know, U.S. Supreme Court decisions that you can read that are rock solid. Marbury versus Madison is the first case I would suggest for people to read, okay, but there's a few of them out there that are really good. You go through the instruction forms of challenging jurisdiction. That'll give you a basic understanding of how to deal with traffic court, okay? But really what you're doing is you're going to challenge the jurisdiction for denial of due process. Now, you're not going to challenge jurisdiction in the beginning, and your point of not doing that is, now let me think about it. Well, your main point of not doing that is because you're stuck in the court and you can't win, and they got you over a barrel. But they denied me my due process. And because that court, a traffic court, cannot give you due process. If there is a law, written law, that they apply upon you, called civil law, traffic court law, whatever they want to call it, it's legislative law, that lacks due process. That's a denial of due process right there. That's the law. That's the real law. Now, you would then take it what I do is take it into the state court first, and then you can always move it to the federal court. So you sue them for denial of due process. You'll have to go through the appeal system. In the state courts, you'll have two appeals, and then at that point, you'd have to move it to the federal court if that's necessary. It shouldn't be much to move it in the state court from one point to another. I know in the federal court, you know, it's $410 just to file a case, and then you move to, I think, for the appeal, it's like $650 or $600 or something like that. I don't know what it is to get into the Supreme Court yet. But if you're willing to do that and you want to do it and you want to get educated in doing it and you want to sue these people, well, that's the process. Now, I would tell you to learn. This is going to give you just an idea by looking at these instructions and forms, challenging jurisdiction instruction and forms for traffic court. Traffic instructions to move your case for cause to the federal courts. So these are instructions, but it's not enough to be able to think you can go into court and win. There's a lot of people out there, they make it sound so simple, and you're just going to get beat up in there because there's so many things going on and you have no clue what's happening. Someone will say something and you won't even understand that you need to say something, to rebut that. What you'd have to do if you want to get involved in this is you continue back under Education Starts Here and you click on Court Access in the Common Law course. And you take this course. It's a 90-hour course, lays out the whole process on how the court system works. And if you want to understand the federal courts, it pretty much works the same way. And we talk mostly from the federal perspective anyway, but I did write a short book called Understanding the Federal Courts. And you can get that, I think it's $19 for that book. You can get that. You can find that under Welcome, and you look for books by John Darash. And if you bought the Government by Consent, it may even be in there. Well, you wouldn't be able to order it that way. You'd have to go on to Amazon to get it. Okay, so my point is this. With your knowledge you have, you're not going to win this case. They're going to just beat you up bad. And what's going to happen is they're going to now come out of you with viciousness because you are challenging their authority. So you don't have the ability to fight them. If you got yourself a lawyer to go in, you'll probably charge you $1,500 just to begin with, and you're still going to lose. So that's where you're at. I mean, you know.
So what about like the affidavit though? Like they just can ignore that?
Oh, they ignore everything. They ignore everything. They ignore the Constitution, so they definitely will ignore an affidavit.
So pretty much we're all just screwed and there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, there's a lot we can do, okay? First of all, everyone should learn how to deal with a court because, you know, even if you pay the fine and move on, okay, what happens 2 years from now or 5 years from now? What are you going to do with other situations that might come up? Well, you have to be able to defend yourself. That's why you educate. Educate now. And if you want to take these people to court, like I said, pay their fine, and you could take 6 months, 9 months, whatever, to go through learning all this stuff, and then sue the hell out of them. You sue the judge for denial of due process, the prosecutor for denial of due process. It's both of them.
Okay. I had another quick question, if you have a moment.
Yeah.
So I read through, like, those three books, the ones, the Meet Your Straw Man, then the Common Law Jury, or Common Law One. Anyway, those three books. One of them is mostly all just written from Howard Freeman, like those, seminars or whatever Howard Freeman did. Do you happen to know where I could find those? I've been wanting to listen to those. And
well, I don't know those individuals. The Meet Your Straw Man, I'm very familiar with that, but I didn't write that. Everything that's in the book is pretty much true, but any kind of strategy people come up with to deal with that problem, trust me, it don't work. You're not going to win anything. Okay, you only get yourself more trouble because, again, when you go into a court and you start to stick up for your rights and argue with these people and they realize you have no clue in what you're doing, you're giving them a hard time and they feel like you're a thorn in their side and they come out with vindictiveness and they come out with viciousness and anything they can do to destroy you, they will do it. I mean, they can only go so far, of course. It's only a traffic violation. But nevertheless, whatever they can do, they're going to do. That's why, again, if you're going to go in, you know, let me tell you, you go into court and they need to be scratching their head about you. So that's where the point you got to get to in order to get respect in that court and wonder on what you're doing. So when you go into a court and if you understood what you were doing, first order of business is you challenge their jurisdiction. then you give them an affidavit concerning the fact that they're denying you that your jurisdiction. And if they don't cease and desist, you're going to move this in to the state court for justice. And then you have to have the knowledge to do that. Then you have to move into that process. And then you may have to go up the line through the appellate court, but you write your case as if you're going to have to appeal. And then if you still don't get through, because a lot of states are corrupt, you then move it into federal court. Now, the key thing about federal court is they don't get into the issue. The only thing they're concerned about is the constitutional violation. If indeed they did deny you your right of due process, they don't care what the issue is about, and you'll get a lawyer that'll come into the federal court, and they will try to bring up the issue, and you have to object to that. It has nothing to do with this, Your Honor. This has to do with a denial of due process. And when you make that point, the judge will agree with you on that, because they can't deal with the other problem. They don't have the authority on the federal level to deal with the issue at hand. They can only deal with the issue as a violation of due process. That's why you may end up having to go to the federal court to get it done. But the thing is, at that point, for denial of due process, you know, in your wherefore clause, you have to understand what a wherefore clause is, which tells the judge exactly what you're looking to get out of this whole thing, okay? You want to cease and desist, because they can't give you due process, and they didn't give you due process. And you want a whole bunch of money, because they injured me. They denied me due process. That's a right. And if you look through your Constitution, on the Bill of Rights, you know, you'll find that there are other things that they violated. And you may, every right that they violated, you're going to get money from. I have a rule of thumb, which is a lot of money now because of the way gold is going and silver is going. So I'd reduce it because I don't want to be too ridiculous. But I had a rule of thumb, which was $1,000 per violation of my unalienable right in real money defined as Morgan Silver dollars. Now, a Morgan Silver dollar today is, I'm not even sure, it may have hit 100 already. They're talking about, it's going to go way higher than that. But $100 for every Morgan Silver dollar, I mean, that's a whole bunch of money, okay? $1,000 is what? Some ridiculous amount. Is it $100,000? Is that right? Huh? So it's a little ridiculous. I mean, when silver was, down to maybe 25, 30 bucks an ounce, that was reasonable. So I would sue probably for $500 or $250 in Morgan Silver dollars, real money, for each constitutional violation. And then a little more for your costs and aggravation and time. But the most important part of the wherefore clause is that they cease and desist. Now, if you paid the fine, you don't have that in there. You're just going in for the injury. So, okay. Anything else? We just take another minute if we got it. Other than that, we got to close down.
I've done some other stuff, but it's bigger stuff, so I'll just call back next week or something.
Yeah, we'll be here next Monday. But we do want to try to stay on point talking about the problems in the court and how we're going to fix it and what we need to do to fix it, you know?
Okay.
So, but we'll talk a little more on your case if you want.
Okay,
with that, come to the end of our call. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday evening.
Good night.